and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. My storage is empty and I am available to you. Bless your name, Jesus. My storage is empty and I'm available to you, Lord. This has been a long week, a very taxing week, and even spiritual warfare that was encountered in the early morning. Pastors know what I'm talking about. When there's warfare that occurs, and you're up praying and you're binding what the enemy is trying to bring forth, trying to manifest, and you're working and you're praying against it, and then you have to tell those that are involved or that have been impacted about it as well, so that they will know that this is a spiritual warfare that we are in. We are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a warfare, and it is not the normal thing that you see as a boxing match. It is not the normal thing that you see where, but that you see on TV or anything like that. This is not The Exorcist. This is not no fake stuff that you see on television. But this is real. This is real. This is real. You're not going to see anyone head spinning around in circles and them vomiting all over the place and the room filling up with flies. But this is real. This is real. The enemy comes in subtle ways, subtles. The Bible said that he was more subtle than the other beasts of the field. And so he comes in different ways to impact. And you got to be prayerful. We talk about pressing your way. When you press, you need to pray at the same time. And so when you press, well, I'm going to service, and then something occurs in the midst of while you're on your way there, you need to pray and press your way. And so this is that type of warfare that it may seem like it's nothing. Well, I'll go tomorrow or I'll go next week because I'm tired. No, adjust your schedule for God. Adjust your schedule for God. Don't make God adjust his around you, but adjust yours for him. The Bible tells us, and we were talking about this morning, then we're going to go into the word of God. And that is this. The Bible says that be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, I need you to think about these words. Whatsoever a man soweth, whatever I do, is going to return back to me. Now, God is saying, I'm paraphrasing, I'm doing my best to just really make this simplify it, but if I give God 30%, why do I demand him to give me 110? Because that's what people do. I demand God to give me 100%, and I'm only going to give him 20%. No, let's give God 100%, and he's going to continue to give us 100. Let's give him our all as he has requested, going all the way back to Deuteronomy. I can think about scripture in Deuteronomy, our whole, our mind, body, soul, everything that's about us, so that we have, that he said, give me 100. Give me 100 of your mind, your body, your soul, and I'm going to give you back 100 too. Let's give God our all in all in what we do. There's some things that you have up before God. There's some things I have up before him. And I believe that God is a miracle worker because I've seen him take a natural element and change it into what he wanted to appear. Yes, I have that testimony. Well, God has taken a natural element and changed it to what he wanted to be displayed. And so I'm going to hold on to that because that causes me to push and press even when I don't want to. And I don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay there, but I want to bring out that point this morning because it's of necessity to do so. And we have our SoCal, we call it SoCal, our Southern California Pentecost service coming up. Tomorrow is April 1st. And so we have about 60 days or maybe less than 60 days of waiting for service and for this service to begin now. And so you have the next 30 days from April 1st all the way through May 1st to eat your fried chicken, your boiled beef, your barbecue meat, raw fish, whatever you gonna eat, you know, your sushi, whatever, your octopus, whatever you gonna have. Because on May 1st, we're gonna be consecrating. We're gonna be consecrating, which means no meat. No meat, no hot dogs, no chili dogs, none of that. If you're going to have chili, it's going to be chili beans with no meat, Fritos with and sour cream. And, you know, and I'm not big about the Beyond Meat, Beyond Beef and all that kind of stuff because the sodium content. And that's really a waste to just eat. You're going to get some compact vegetables that's been saturated with all kind of salt and sodium. That's going to make your blood pressure skyrocket. Let's not do that. Let's go from May 1st through May 30th, consecration. The church is on consecration. And those that are joining in that is going to be consecrating with us, that includes your children. Your children need to know how to fast and they need to know how to consecrate too during that time. And so that means that they won't get a piece of chicken. I want a chicken leg. No, baby, we're consecrating unto the Lord. We want God's attention. We want God to move, and I'm going to exhort and talk about that prior to the start of the consecration so that you have a good understanding of what we're looking for God to do. Well, we're looking for God to do something, and he's looking for us to do something too. I want to direct your attention to 1 Corinthians. Many places this morning, everyone is saying Happy Easter, and, you know, the Pentecost and the resurrection of Easter, or what has been coined as being Easter, existed prior to the death, burial of Christ. And note, I did not say resurrection. I said death and burial. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at the 14th verse. It says, and if Christ be not risen, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not or rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, we're wasting our time. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ is perished. So they don't have any hope either. They died, went to sleep, and thought that they was going to rise again. If in this life we have hope in Christ, if this is our hope, that and Christ is not risen, then we're all most men, most miserable. Miserable. It's all a fake. It's not real. The 30th verse of the same chapter says, "Why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it mean if the dead rise not? Let us," me, you, everyone else, "eat and drink," the very thing that we have become moderate about, the very thing that we've stopped doing, because tomorrow we're going to die. But why continue on to down this same path if Christ be not risen? If Christ is not risen, why are we doing all of this? Why are we doing any of it at all? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Because that's what we're doing if Christ be not risen. And we are just wasting our time, which is something very precious to each of us. The most precious thing that we have is time. Why waste it? We don't waste our time with false things. We don't waste our time in relationships that are not going nowhere. At least I hope you're not. I pray that you're not. And daughters, goddaughters, natural daughters, friends, daughters of friends, and everybody, hear me. If that Negro is wasting your time, you need to walk away. If she, I don't care, lips, hips, fingernail tips, whatever, if she's wasting your time, you need to walk away. You might feel a pinch in the moment because of your expectation, what you was hoping for, but walk away. Walk away. I know I use the term Negro, Anglo-Saxon, yellow, red, to cover it all. Okay, walk away. Time is temporary. Everything has a temporary date on it. This is a known fact. Life here is temporary. Life now in this very moment is temporary. We've already gone through a phase, or you can think of another terminology. We've already gone through a part of the morning, and what we've gone through is already passed. Those moments are gone, and we can't recapture them again. Life as we know it here and now is a temporary assignment. It's temporary. Like everything else, time is structured. Time is a structured element. Time has a start. It has a duration. And then time comes to an end. It's time to, we start work. We start work at 8 o'clock. And we watch the clock and see that it's time to take a 10-minute break. And we watch the clock, see that it's time to take a lunch hour. The next thing you know is another 10-minute break, and then we're ready to go home, at least some. Some of us work long hours, and some of us, the hours don't stop. We go to bed, and our minds are still going. We're still eating up time when it's a time to rest. Time is structure, and we know the structure of time, and so we follow it. Armed with this information, you don't have time to waste. None of us have time to waste. The Bible tells us in Galatians, the 4th chapter, it said, "But when the fullness of time," when time from the start, that from the time that it was established, there was a duration, there was a chain of events that occurred. And then when that chain of events came to an end, the fullness of time had come, and God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we say, that's what we're saying. That's what we've been preaching. That's what we've been teaching. That's what we have believed. However, if Christ be not risen, well, let's go on here. When and fullness are both elements of time. When and fullness represents the arrival or existence of circumstances where something happened. In this instance, God sent forth his son. According to Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. For this purpose, Christ came, and we're listening and participating in the service unto the Lord because of that purpose. We believe that Christ is risen. At least so we say. We say we believe. But if Christ is not risen, the purpose is the reason for the season. We celebrate Christ. We celebrate God in Christ. And Christ celebrated us. God celebrates us. Well, Pastor, where did you get that from? Well, the Bible tells us that. It said there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, the 19th verse, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The 21st verse says, for he have made him to be sin for us. He made him to be a sacrifice. Now, to understand the sacrifice of Christ, then you have to understand the Old Testament. You have to go back and read the Old Testament to see what was going on there, and then to understand what was happening here. Now, those sacrifices did not rise again when they killed the dove, when they killed whatever the sacrifice was, a ram or a goat. It was sacrificed, but it did not rise again. And so there was a continual offering of animals on the altar for our sacrifice of sin. And now the Bible tells us, and what we've been preached to and what I've exhorted and what others have said, is that Christ became the sacrifice once and for all. And so when he was on the cross, this is what they said, that this is what was written, is that on the cross, that when he sacrificed, that in the temple, there was a veil, and that veil was torn in two because it represented the entrance into the Holy of Holies. And no one could go into that or beyond the veil. But now we all can come boldly to the throne of grace and find redemption. At least that's what we believe, because we believe that Christ has risen. But if he has not risen, then we're wasting our time. Then we're wasting our time. Everybody that's attending a cathedral, everyone that's content, whether you call it a cathedral, a house of God, or temple, or, you know, wherever you're going to assemble yourselves together at, if Christ be not risen, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I don't care how beautiful the structure look. I don't care how charismatic the preacher may sound. I don't care what you might feel, a quickening. You know, that's all the emotional and the lifting of the hands and the clapping and stomping feet and the drums and organs. It's a waste of time. Don't waste your time. It's just a party. We're just having fun. If Christ be not risen. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, and it says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, joining us back unto God. For he hath made him, who? Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, why am I going to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith that he didn't rise again? But here we are looking strongly at him as our savior. Well, Hebrews 2 goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He did all of this. This man, Christ, the anointed one, Jesus by name, the Messiah, as some would call him, endured the pain and suffering of the cross, endured being embarrassed, endured being shamed, endured being talked about for the joy that was set before him. Him thinking about you and I, him thinking about redemption, him thinking about reconciliation, the joy to celebrate on the inside, endured the pain and the suffering for us. For those that believe, it says now when then we are ambassadors. Now we believe this so much that we even call ourselves ambassadors for Christ. We call ourselves as witnesses. We call ourselves spokesmen. Each one of us. Not talking about church administration. I'm talking about just the mere fact of believing makes you an ambassador, a spokesperson for Christ, the one that if he be not risen, then we're wasting our time even talking about him. We're wasting our time spinning our wheels, being a representative, being a diplomat, showing others is a waste of time if he be not risen. This message is real. The life is real. The cause for Christ is real. And the only way to do it is that you go all in. You got to go all in. I'm not saying that on the job we don't function and handle our business as management. We don't handle our business as workers. We don't do because we so all in that we can't function, that we so heavily minded that we are no earth. No. But yet we're all in. Meaning that the principles and that govern the kingdom of heaven, the principles are governing our lives so that we are operating in a spirit of excellence. Can you go all in this morning? Can you go all in when things seem like when opposition, come here, opposition. When opposition is working against you, can you yet go all in? Not holding anything back. I'm going all in. When everything, come here, let me illustrate. You guys can't see this yet, but we're going to have the camera stuff up and available, right?
Yeah.
All right. When opposition is pushing you back, you're yet going forward. You're yet pushing to go forward and resisting the opposition. You're not allowing anything to stop you because you're all in. You made up in your mind that I'm going in and make it up in my mind and make it up in your mind. It's not for the moment. See, right now we're sitting in service and I could be energized and I could be enthused and I could be inspired that I'm going all in and then walk out the door and change my mind because of one little thing. Because something didn't seem right. because someone looked at me the wrong way, or because somebody said something and the words that they used did not, I didn't want to hear that. But those things don't govern our actions for God. The word of God governs us. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. All in, we don't allow anything or those things to disrupt us because we believe that Christ is risen. The Bible tells us, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If, the word if is a subordinating conjunction. If it's used for conditional statements, meaning that if this exists, then I'm going to do that. Else, if this does not exist, then I'm going to do something else. Well, this morning I'm saying that if Christ is not risen, we all need to go do something else. But if Christ has risen, then we need to go all in and be faithful unto God. If Christ is not risen, sets the narrative for what comes next. Now, the Apostle Paul is keeping it real. He's keeping it real. He's keeping it, as they say, what, 100? So will I. And I hope you do the same with your life. Our preaching, our teaching, exhorting, prophesying, belief are contingent upon the resurrection. Resurrection represents the revival of life. Have you been revived? Well, if Christ is not risen, no, you have not been revived, because he yet is in the grave. But if he has risen, then we are living a life of reconciliation. If there is no resurrection, then all of us are wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. We're spinning our wheels, and none of us are going anywhere fast. And it gets worse, because Paul points out and says, yeah, yes, not only are we spinning our wheels and it's all in vain, but he said we are false witnesses of God. Now, I want you to note something here. Paul speaks about the resurrection of Christ and Christ not rising if he did not rise. He did not say God does not exist. Okay? He said that if Christ did not rise, and we're running around telling everybody Christ is a risen Savior, that Jesus saves, we're running around telling everybody all this, and Christ is not risen, then we are lying on God. Because we testify that God raised Christ, but Christ didn't rise. That's if the dead in Christ don't rise. Because we claim Christ is risen from the dead. We've told people that Jesus is coming soon, but he never got up from the grave. We walk around saying Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, Pentecost. It didn't happen because Christ didn't rise. It was contingent. Pentecost was contingent upon Christ rising. Prior to Christ's death and burial, he said, nonetheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, that I be crucified, that I die. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Which means that there is life after death. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Mighty God, I feel my help. If Christ did not rise, then the day of Pentecost did not happen as it has been stated. because it was based upon Jesus' ability to rise again and send the comforter. But if he's in the grave, if he did not rise, if he's like everyone else, then how did you get the Holy Ghost? How have you felt the power of God? How has healing occurred in Jesus' name? Oh, we're just most miserable men. We just wasting our time if it's not real. But if it's real, if you know this is real, then it is life-changing. I'm kind of ahead of myself. I'm trying to hold back here. They were all gathered in one place for nothing if this is not real. There was no sound outside of the people celebrating in the rooms below if this is not real. The atmosphere did not change. There was no cloven tongues, no tongues of, the only tongues that they would have heard was the Perithians, the Midianites, and the Elamites, and the Mesopotamianites, and the Judeanites, and that's what they would have heard. But it was all of those people saying, hey, we hear something different, and we hear people praising and magnifying God. If Christ did not rise, none of that would have happened. So then why waste the time? For if Christ died and did not rise again, it's a waste. And if Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain. And everything we're doing is in vain. Mighty God. He said, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day that we open our eyes up and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, based upon the work of Jesus Christ, is in vain if he did not rise again. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Paul said, I've stood in jeopardy. I've put my life in danger. I've taken a major risk. I've been threatened. Even at this very moment, he said, listen here, we're challenged every day because we believe that Christ is risen, and we're making these declarations. He said that if after the manner of men, I've fought with people, I've argued with diplomats, I've been before kings, I've stood in front of people, and I've told them that Christ is a risen Savior. I told them that there's power in the name of Jesus. I've prayed for folks in the name of Jesus. I've preached in his name, all for nothing. If this is not real, then we might as well just go on, pop open a bottle of Grey Goose, get whiskey, get whatever you're going to drink, whatever your poison is, as they used to say. But this is real. This is real. My fight is not in vain. I'm not beating at the air as if nothing really happened. I'm going forward in this being all in. This morning, I can say with confidence and complete assurance unto you that it is not a waste of time. This is why Luke was able to write to Theophilus. He said, for as many have taken in hand and set forth in order a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us, we believe this. Even as they have been delivered unto us, as the gospel message has been preached to each of us throughout and within our lifespan, we believe the word of God, which was given to them that have preached it and exhorted it unto us, that Christ is a risen Savior, that there have been eyewitnesses and those that minister the word of God. He says, it seemed good to me also having a perfect understanding of this. I have a good understanding of it myself. And I think you have a good understanding of it too. That from the very first, he said, I'm writing this unto you to put things in order that you may know certainly of the things wherein you have been instructed. You can believe that Christ is a risen Savior. That he has risen. He's gotten up out of the grave. He goes on in the second epistle and said, God showed himself strong with proof for 40 days, validating his resurrection and giving them instructions. And God is still, Christ is still showing himself strong today with signs and wonders. I'm looking for some signs and wonders right now. There are some things that are impossible that cannot be done without God. This is why I'm stressing our faithfulness. I'm stressing our obedience. I'm stressing the push and the press past every obstacle that would present itself, every feeling, every emotion, every thought, because God wants to show himself strong even in this day and this hour. Mighty God, bless your name, Jesus. Bless you, Lord God. It's not in vain. It's for all the purpose that God has set out for it to be. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, we're not going to eat and drink. We're not going to carry on as if nothing ever happened. We're not going to do those things. And we're going to continue to do what? Present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. The Bible tells us that our labor is not in vain. Paul was having a moment. He just wanted to stress it. He just wanted to get it out. That I need you to understand that Christ is risen. He's risen. No, he didn't rise on March 31st, 2020, unless you allowed him to rise in your hearts this morning. Will you allow God to rise? Will you allow him to rise up? Now, you preach another gospel over there? Will you allow him to rise up and be in your heart this morning? Bless you, Lord Jesus. Mighty God. Listen, it's important. It's important that we allow him to be the risen Savior that he is. It's important. Because there are things that God wants to do in our lives. There are things that God is doing. There's things that he has already set in motion at COG and in other ministries. But I'm going to focus on here, COG. What God wants to do, it requires the press. It requires the obedience. It requires to follow what God is saying. If Christ be risen, he's risen. It's not an if. It's not an if and it's not a maybe. No, he's risen. And we know this for ourselves. Every head bowed, eyes closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, knowing that this work, that your work is not in vain. Lord God, as the gospel message goes out across the country, Lord God, as it goes out in every place that you have a sign, Lord God, as people are gathering together, not out of tradition, but they're gathering because they love you. They're gathering, Lord God, because they know it is right to gather together and to magnify you. Lord God, some are preparing to be in service right now, Lord, Lord Jesus, and so they are listening to this service, Lord. Lord, and they may be listening as they drive to their service, Lord. Father, we thank you for your kindness and grace and ask that you would bless them, Lord God. As Lord, they believe your word. They know your word. You are a risen Savior. We thank you, Lord God. You laid your life down for us and you picked it up again to give us power, Lord God, so that we can be witnesses of you. Lord God, we honor you for your kindness and grace. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're going to be careful to give you praise and to give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Lord God, I pray and ask that you would bless, Lord, each one that, Lord God, under the sound of my voice, Lord, as we magnify you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Continue to pray for us as we are praying for you. Tell somebody about the goodness of God, for he is risen. Let him arise in your life daily. Don't keep them buried. Let them rise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.